Underground Radio! Ba-da-ba-ba-da! The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this, other fine geek programming, and the reptilian conspiracy, visit nerdyshow.com.
Nerdy Show!
Welcome to another fine episode of Nerdy Show, the weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
And this episode, I think we're actually going to be, we've kind of gone over the notes. It looks like we're going to be pretty slanted in the video game category, so brace yourself, strap on your power glove, get yourself nice and comfortable.
Glad you said power glove. I was thinking something else. Put your strap on and get ready for some video game talk.
I want you to just get to, you know, get your bad dragon dildo out of storage.
Put your VR helmet on.
What's it? No power glove, no love, right?
Put your VR helmet on, load up your hentai program. And
sit
put
on it and let's go.
Yeah, get your human beans ready.
I want you to climb on up of your porcelain throne, crack open a copy of By Your Way to Cool, and just get ready to rock.
Put that squatty potty to
crack open that digital PDF.
Crack it right open. I want you to take your tablet
iPad
across your knee
or your Kindle.
Right. Listen, there's a good reason that
why are we talking in a southern accent?
Because it's leftover from Underground Radio.
Yeehaw, we're not offending anybody.
There's a good reason that the Buy Your Way to Cool book is in PDF format, and that is because there's extra profit, and that's part of being cool.
No printing costs.
Yeah.
I mean, I print them out.
And it's eco-friendly, and that's pretty cool.
Look, before we kick it off, do you guys remember Ninja Turtles 2?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Do you remember the traditional pre-fight donut?
Obviously.
Oh, yes. The traditional pre-fight donut.
Okay, so Brandon and I were having a night on the town last night. And
you decided to have a fight,
and we beat each other up in an alleyway.
But before,
behind a popular karaoke dive bar called Big Daddy's, and then when we stumbled bloody into the first open door that we saw, and found ourselves in a place called O Stromboli's.
Yeah,
and we were thinking, oh, okay,
it sounds like a commercial.
Maybe we'll put some steak against our faces. It sounds like a commercial, but miraculously, it's not a commercial.
Okay,
But we found something that was so...
That's what a commercial would want you to think.
I know. It's a hard sell here. But trust me, this small local business has no money to spare on us. Not even when it comes to free food, which this is not. But
damn it.
But Brandon and I just wanted to share something with you because it's one of the most remarkable things we've ever put inside of our mouths.
And unfortunately, you can't see this at home.
It's like a little tiny audio.
We're going to describe it to you, and that's going to be a little bit of...
I'll leave the describing to you.
What? This is a tiny pizza box that we're going to open here. Oh, okay.
Inside are face hugger eggs.
Okay.
Well, not literally. These look like mini calzones.
They look a little different than the last ones.
Nothing like calzones.
Kind of like prolapsed anuses.
Little tiny. Yeah, they look basically like
almost like little
like a pig sock.
Pastry calzone pasta roses, like petals.
Yeah, they're definitely flower
like rosebuds.
I'm going to eat one.
They are called pizza roulette, but without the Italian accent.
And when we saw this on the menu, we thought, oh, is it like you don't know what you're going to get? It's a pizza with anything on it? And turns out...
She told us it was a pizza roll. And we're like, okay, well, we love pizza rolls.
Pizza what? What did you say?
Pizza rolls.
Roulette.
Roulette. Which I don't know if that's a real word.
This is for real. This is a real thing, by the way. This isn't a joke.
It looks like a little cinnamon bun, but filled with cheese.
It's not simply savory. It's dusted with spices, but
it's the spices cheese
are not
and basil.
Cinnamon and sugar. Yep. So we just wanted to share that with you guys because it impressed our mouths last night.
I think you really built it up, and now I'm not.
I think you overhyped it a little bit.
I'm not impressed that much.
You're really good. What are you talking about? Did you just not get any cheese in yours or something? These are really good. They should be overflowing with cheese. This is not overflowing with cheese.
It's very acceptable. I think they overcooked these.
I mean, it is possible that it's because we got them fresh out of the oven last night. I don't know. Mm. We just wanted to share something with our friends.
If this was fresh out of the oven, I can see how this would be very tasty.
It tastes like a croissant donut filled with cheese when they're fresh. But these are really, I'm still finishing it. This is good.
Brandon, could you pass me one? They're too far away. Anyway, Brandon, why don't you tell us, what's the game you're going to talk to us about today?
If I'm pronouncing it right, which I'm not sure if I am, Nier Automata or Automata?
I would say
Nier,
Automata.
Nier Automata.
Okay.
Which is the farming
simulator. They don't ever say that word in the game?
No.
Okay. That's just nope. Okay, sure.
There's a reason for the name, I'm sure. There's more than one game. Am I talking about this game now?
No. Oh, yes. I don't have anything to add.
Zach just said, tell us about
the
game.
Sorry, I was eating a pizza roll. All right, so I've been having these severe bouts of depression lately. So I was all like, you know what I need right now? I need a new video game that doesn't suck or just something that'll lift my spirits. So I heard about this game Nier Automata or Automata, whatever.
Automata.
Automata. Well, because you say automaton, you can just say but Nier from Automata. Now on. I don't know. Yeah, Nier. Okay. If that's even how you say it. And I was like,
they don't even say that?
No.
They don't say any of the words in the title.
They
in
the game.
Oh my God, get to the game. I'm already bored by this game.
The point is that I looked at a bunch of screenshots and it looked like there was a bunch of robots that were made in the 1800s, like made out of iron and cogs and steam and shit. And I was like, oh, that looks really cool. And they're being fought by a girl with a blindfold wearing a French maid outfit. And I was like, this is exactly the kind of game that I want right now. An uplifting JRPG that I haven't played in a long time. So I bought the game and I was fucking blown away. There is no.
Is it a JRPG or is it more like a brawler? Like it looked like more like an action.
No,
game
it's a JRPG. But
really,
yeah,
just not turn based.
No, I mean, it's not. It's yeah, it's like a hack and slash JRPG. It's like most open world games are now. They're still RPGs, but you run around and hack and slash things.
And
they're not turn based.
PS4.
It's for PS4 and Microsoft Windows,
but yeah. Not Xbox.
Yeah, no,
weird.
Even though all the other games are, because there's five other games. I've never heard of this.
The whole open world RPG thing was more of an American RPG thing, and then maybe they adapted.
Well, Final Fantasy,
so wouldn't it be in a Japanese American RPG or
no? Nope. Okay. But basically, I wanted to play this game because I thought, you know, most JRPGs have this sort of uplifting thing in it where it's like, oh, we're gonna bond together and use the power of friendship and love to overcome like evil, and this game isn't
like that. I thought most JRPGs were like had super depressing moments.
Well, this entire game is one super depressing moment of basically there's an underlying theme of what's the point of life and existence and why even bother playing this video game? You should probably kill yourself.
Okay.
So that's it makes the game. I picked the wrong game to cheer myself up, but it was a friggin' amazing game straight from the first scene. And I just want to talk a little bit about this. I'll just get to the generic story real quick because it starts off generic. These aliens came hundreds of years ago, dropped off a shit ton of robots that looked like they couldn't do anything, and they wiped out humanity, and humanity, like, whatever's left lives on the moon. Okay. Made some androids, which is you. You are one of them, and okay. Then you go to the Earth to try to take it back, and you've been doing this for, like, hundreds of years. And there's four other games. There's a first Nier game, which takes place thousands of years, like, before this, and then the Drakengard series apparently is before this. Which
this is a whole series?
Apparently.
Who makes this stuff?
Well, Square Enix produced it. Platinum Games made the new one. They're the ones who made Bayonetta.
And who made it originally? Was that Square?
I don't... Well, yeah, they definitely produced it. I don't know which company. It might be a defunct company right now. But basically, the gameplay, which I did... I thought it would just be like a hack and slash with JRPG RPG elements. It's a mixture of open world fighting, bullet hell, and side-scrolling platforming, and it goes between like all three of these really seamlessly. So you'll be like fighting in 3D and then run up a side of a building and it'll turn sideways into a side-scroller and then change into like tons of projectiles and bullet hell while you're flying in a ship and things like seamlessly. One of my favorite things about the game though is the music. It has this crazy like dynamic music, at least I think it's dynamic, where every single song has eight different versions about, including an 8-bit version, but I don't want to get into that because that's almost spoiler territory for reasons I can't explain. Okay. So it's weird because like if you go to a new area, the music might start off all kind of somber and slow. And then as you fight more enemies and get through it, like more instruments are added to the same song and then it'll pick up and be a faster beat. And it'll do that several different times. So as the areas get more and more intense, the music raises in intensity. So it really sets the tone and just makes the vibe way better. And there's even vocal versions of every song, too. For the slow parts and the fast parts. I don't know how it decides when to use which. It might just be when you get to a certain part of an area. But that is my favorite fucking part. So there's literally eight versions of every song. There's also 26 endings.
20?
There's an ending for every letter of the alphabet.
How different are each ending?
I don't know. There are bad endings and good endings.
You just get to the end and you're like, pick a letter.
That's the thing. No, there's a lot of different endings and you have to get a few of them. You actually have to in order to get like the good ending. It's a type of game that you want to play a few times, even though every time you play it, it's slightly different.
Is it based on choices you make or how fast you go or what?
Okay, so there are some good and bad endings with cinematics that are based on your choices, but there are also a bunch of just wonky bullshit endings. Like, this game doesn't have a lot of barriers, so in certain instances, there are invisible wall barriers, but like when there's like a major fight and you're like, you have to go this way to like save someone or do something, mm-hmm. you can just turn around and like be like, nope, and walk away. And then the game will end and the credits will roll. It'll be basically say like, everyone died because you abandoned them. You were never heard from again and humanity is wiped out now. And that's mm-hmm. like an ending. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And there's a bunch of those. But the director of this game, a guy named Yoko Taro, is a fucking troll. And I say that because he is known to just fuck with the players in almost a Hideo Kojima kind of way. Mm-hmm. In one of his older games, he purposely put a locked door in the game. And it was like, it seemed as though you could get a key and unlock this door, but he did that on purpose. And there was actually, he made it so you couldn't get in the door ever. And people were just...
So it was just a door texture on a wall.
No, you could click on it.
Fake doors! Yeah. Come on down!
No, it was an actual thing you click on, like in a video game where you would click on something, you'd be like, right, well, you can't come back.
You can
like,
interact with this, but
like,
it's not
you know,
actually,
you'll come back later.
It's a door to nowhere.
And they literally made it so you couldn't ever get in it to fuck with people. Mm. And he does that in this game too. Some of the, I don't know if all of you remember this, but some of the game seems a lot like the fight scene in Metal Gear Solid with Psycho Mantis. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're not quite sure what is real and what isn't, and if it's supposed to happen or not. And right. I really like that.
Yeah.
And he's put, there's like a secret door in every area that is locked. And there's a machine in front of it telling you like, you can't get inside this door no matter what you do. And even if you did, you would be slaughtered instantly. And it's like, it's not worth your time. Don't worry about it. But now I'm going to kill myself and you get whatever items I have. Yeah.
Okay.
And literally, as soon as that happened, I looked up online and nobody's figured out how to get in these doors and they all think the director is just trolling you.
Right.
So there's like 8 or 9 of these doors throughout the game that you can't get in for no reason except that the director is a dick.
Well, it's world building.
And just to explain how kind of crazy this game is and the tone for it, I have to go through sort of one of the endings, but without spoiling it. So one of the endings, one of the ways to get the good endings, there's basically, there's a really, really tough battle that happens and, you know, I can't beat it. I die. And then it says, you want to try again? Yes, whatever. Can't beat it again. It just like pops up. It's like, well, you're not really good at this. Do you want to try again or something? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to try it again. And then after a while, I start saying things like, isn't this game kind of pointless? Like, doesn't the world have no meaning? Are you sure you want to continue? And after a while, there's just weird messages appearing in the back of the screen from people from other countries, like Japan and Zimbabwe. And yeah, and I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
Real messages from real people?
Yes. Yes. These are actual player messages. And so
like you can type your own message and send it to somebody
at some point. Oh, I didn't know what was going on at this point.
Right.
So apparently eventually it asks you like, do you wish to accept the help of like complete strangers? And I was like, yes. And so all these people that sent messages, like they could join me as like not in real time, but as bots. And so they helped me. They gave me enough power. There was a bunch of us just to do this final battle and actually beat it. And here's where the thing gets really fucked up. At the end, it's like basically like, how did it feel to be helped and like overcome this thing you couldn't do by yourself? I'm like, great. It's like, would you be willing to do the same for someone else? And I was like, sure. It's like, how much would you be willing to do to save someone's life? I was like, I don't know. This is a video game. So I'll just be like,
everything.
Yeah. And so it's like, would you be willing to sacrifice your save data in order to help someone the same way that you were just helped?
Wow.
And I was like, what? I was like, I just clicked on yes. And then it's like, are you sure? If you do this, we will wipe your save data, but you will also save someone in the same way that you were just helped. I was like, no, wait, hold on. I got to look this up online. I was like, I looked it up online. It literally deletes your entire save data.
Wow.
And everyone who helped me in that battle, they went through that. They clicked yes.
Wow.
And had to delete their save
data.
You're
a coward.
I don't know how you're supposed to get that ending without someone deleting their save data in the first place to help you because it's too hard. Yeah. Maybe someone could do it.
So the first person to play this game and beat it never got that ending.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think a bunch of people would have to have, like, I don't know how someone have done it. Maybe they set it up so there's always maybe a few bots that aren't real.
Maybe.
But I also thought, well, can't you just back up your save data to USB and then reload it after it? I mean, I think so. You should, there's no problem with that.
I've never messed around with that, so I have no idea.
I've done it with other games where you can...
I'm more the PC guy, not the console guy.
And you have to do that.
If you did that, like, you, oh, I got, don't worry, I got it saved. You put it back in, and it's just like, what do you think you're doing? Delete. And it's just like immediately, like,
that is the type of game that this might... Right. So I'm like, I'm going to wait till I'm completely done with this game before I even fucking attempt it. Because if you're 100% completionist, you actually can't get one of the trophies without doing that, without deleting your save data. Yeah. And I looked it up, and he did this in one of his other games, too. One of his other, I think the first Nier game, there was also like a save data deletion ending.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a really kind of messed up, but really cool and fun game. I couldn't put the game down for 2 days. And I was on the edge of my seat. And every time you thought maybe the story would veer into a traditional JRPG where it's like, oh, the power of love and friendship to defeat everything, it just completely veered away.
I was told that game is pretty, like, relatively short. You can finish it in 6 or 7 hours or something.
Well, no. I mean, it took me 20 or something. 20 hours the first time. But here's the thing. When you think you've beaten it, really it just then changes to another character and another perspective. I don't want to get too much into it, but when you think you've beaten it, you really haven't. And then when you think you've beaten it again, you're really only halfway through the actual story.
I mean, Brandon, from what you've told me before, you're downplaying. I mean, you don't, it's not, you're playing as another character with completely different moves, right? I mean, like, it's totally different.
And that happens several times. So it's really, there's actually a lot of replay value.
This sounds either like really awesome or incredibly frustrating.
No, it's really awesome. Yeah. Here's why it's awesome, though. Because like,
I played Ride and fuck, I want to be Snake. Oh, wait, I'm changing characters. Maybe I'll be Snake this time. Oh, another Raiden. Great.
There's a reason for it, and some of it's during the same events that happen, so you get to see. Because when the first run through, there's a lot of things that don't make sense. You're like, why did that scene just happen? Why did that character say that? But then you played again during the same events with another character. You're like, oh shit, now I know how this whole thing
I hope
was
it doesn't
up.
Feel as cheap as Devil May Cry 4. I don't know if you played that.
I haven't played him since the first one.
Because Devil May Cry 4, you go through the entire game, and then right after you beat the last guy, you switch to a different character. Like, you go from Nero to Dante, and then all of a sudden you have to fight backwards to the beginning of the game. And then it's really weird,
it's like,
because
that.
You are just, you're in this new character, you don't know how to control him, and you're at the end of the game.
Well, I was going
to
say, if you're playing Devil May Cry for story,
they scale things
up
appropriately, but...
No, it's not like
I think they did that so they didn't have to develop more levels.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
I mean,
you end up fighting the same bosses in that game, like... 5 or 6 times, like the same identical bosses, all of them. It's ridiculous.
The thing I love about this game is that even though it's like an open world RPG, it's not really that open. Like, the area is not that big. It's kind of like when you play Zelda Ocarina of Time, there's a main central area, and then there's an area linked on, you know, like, there's a bunch of different
choices
points.
You can make up for that.
And that's the thing. Know? I didn't want to play a massive open world game right now, like a friggin' Fallout or even Horizon Zero Dawn. I didn't play
Mass Effect or whatever.
Yeah, because there's just, you get to a point where there's like 100 icons on the map, and you do all the side quests, and then you start getting bored, and then you're so overpowered that the main story is like, whatever, I can beat anything. Mm-hmm. This game doesn't really do that. There are side quests, there's a bunch scattered around, but it's not to that degree. The game is sort of like streamlined and gets to the fucking point, which is exactly what I wanted to play right now. So, you know, if you're a JRPG fan, you really need to play this game. I think it's amazing. That's my review.
I mean, it's not
graphically impressive. It's not going to be as impressive as most open world games, but it, like I said, it gets to the fucking point, and it's really good. And it does a lot of cool things,
like,
that a lot of games
unique,
don't do.
Like, very,
it really is. It does a lot of cool things that it's not afraid to fuck with the players,
right?
And yeah, which I can appreciate,
but I am not a very big JRPG kind of guy.
You may or may not like it.
Speaking of JRPGs, if you want a turn-based JRPG,
I've been playing.
Do they still make those?
I've been playing Persona 5, which is a turn-based JRPG, and I picked it up. Like, I didn't even know that it came out, pretty much, except for somebody started talking about it, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll look into that. And I watched a couple of review videos, and they were reviewing it like almost as good as Legend of Zelda, like the new one. They were giving it like 9.7, 9.8, stuff like that, saying like, oh, this is like the greatest JRPG ever.
Yeah, Nier got the same friggin' reviews, like the masterpiece. And I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, so I was like, well, man, I haven't played a good turn-based JRPG for like a really long time. I'll go ahead and pick this up. It sounds great. And, I've really liked it so far. It's got like a really amazing art style to it. It's like super stylized, and it goes back and forth between like 3D to anime to like sort of like a 2D overlay that kind of looks like a comic book.
What do you mean to anime? Like there's like shorts?
Like no, movies? There's like, there's straight up just the cutscenes are anime.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like high def anime. It's pretty awesome. But the pacing of the game is a little bit awkward because the first 3 hours or so are basically the intro / tutorial.
Yes,
it's one of those.
I can't do that anymore. I can't do it anymore. I want
3 hours, huh?
Yeah. That's why Final Fantasy 15 was great, because you just start the game. I can't handle 3 hours of intro and tutorials anymore.
I mean, in Zelda, they trick you into it.
I played the first 3 hours of Final Fantasy 15, and that was a shit ton of tutorials.
You just start playing after 5 minutes.
You start pushing a fucking car. It's like
that's the whole intro.
That's not playing the game. That's no. learning to play the game.
Well, you never push a car again, so you don't really learn anything.
First of all, hold on. But I got to back up even
sorry,
fucking
Boar.
Further.
I'm sorry,
because
Boar.
You put the disc in the PlayStation, and it's like installing. While this happens, fight an endless horde of little goblins. Ah, fuck, fine. So I'm learning how to fight by fighting this endless horde.
That's just
so
install.
That's 25 fucking minutes of my life gone right there.
Wait, then, what are you even talking about now?
Installing Final Fantasy 15. When you put it in the PlayStation, it's just like installing updates.
It does let you just fight random enemies while it's installed.
I didn't experience that for some reason.
But you don't need to do that.
Well, once you played it straight up, there may not have been a patch released for it yet. I didn't play it.
I think
it
that it's because I'm so used to just popping a disc in and then walking away.
Oh well, I sat down to play because it was a borrowed game, so I was just like, fuck. Well, I may as well just I got nothing to do, so I may as well just.
Absolutely no idea.
You're lucky it let you do that, because Nier let me install the game, and then I played the entire first area, and when I got to the end, it said game not fully installed yet, and I had to shut the game off and do it all over again. There was no way to wait.
So either way, you did that for Final Fantasy 15, and then you start the game, and it's like these cutscenes. I'm like, okay, whatever, fine. I'm expecting cutscenes. I don't, you know, whatever. But then it's like, all right, pushing the car, doing the quest, go kill a fucking rat. And it's like, okay, oh, you did so good. Now your quest is to go to that next dot and talk to that person. Like, I know how this fucking works. Fine, goddamn it. It's just, this went on for like 2 hours until finally, like, the real game got started once, you know, the capital city started getting bombed. And then it's like, okay, this is where spoilers. The story begins.
No, yeah. I haven't even gotten there yet.
Yeah, it's
that's the beginning of the game.
You're still in the tutorial, Cap. You just don't even know it yet.
Well, I didn't know it either.
The reality is Zelda came out and...
Yeah. Okay, Boris, so we're talking about Persona 5.
Persona 5, during that like 3 hours, they do let you play a little bit, but it feels very much like on rails. Like, you keep being like, all right, oh god, I get it. When are you gonna let me go? When are you gonna let me do stuff? Oh man, how many more mechanics do you have to explain? Because there's a shitload of mechanics in this. There's confidants that you have to like talk to, so you have to maintain relationships with people to increase your stats.
Oh, like the Golden Girls theme.
It's kind of like that.
Because, you know, you're a pal and a confidant.
Yeah, I didn't find any pals yet. But one thing that I thought was kind of funny is when Brandon was talking about how this game that he was playing doesn't have the power of friendship as one of the things that helps you overcome everything.
Yeah, no.
Persona 5 is totally all about the power of friendship to help you overcome things.
Should we trade? Pals and confidants.
We should trade games when you're done. We'll both. Although that seems like a game that's going to be like 100 hours.
Oh, easily. Yeah, I read some people being like 110 hours in.
Do you still have the patience for turn-based combat?
I do.
I don't know if I do anymore.
Let me put it like this. I'm about, I think, 12 hours into it. And
so
I'm not
the beginning.
I'm not even finished with the first dungeon. And
Jesus.
I actually kind of fucked up, because what happens is...
You have to start over.
I do kind of have to start over.
Oh, jeez.
Not all the way, though. But what happens in this game is you are a student and you get accused of a crime, and... Basically, you were trying to stop some dude from raping and or kidnapping a woman, and you get thrown in jail instead because you knocked the guy on the ground, and he
sounds
was
like
some sort of important person. No, this is all based in Japan. But apparently in Japan, there's some sort of a stigma that whenever you get accused of a crime, they pretty much treat you like you did, like you were convicted,
like
even
you're an
if you weren't.
Now.
Yeah, so the game, you're on probation, you get sent to live with somebody, and pretty much you get sucked into this supernatural world where you unlock your
potential
magic
wishes. Okay, that's what I was going for. You unlock the hidden potential of your persona, which is pretty much this thing that comes out of your head to fight for you.
Oh, neat. Isn't this game about like demons in hell, though? Aren't they usually
no it's okay. More about the demons that live within you. is probably the best way to put it. And the dungeon that I'm stuck in is the volleyball coach in your high school that you go to is a lecherous asshole who abuses his volleyball students in various physical and or sexual ways. And he's pretty much terrorizing the high school and sort of like on the lowdown, and teachers won't say anything because he's like the star volleyball coach. Won't say anything because
game sounds weird.
I don't know.
I thought my game was weird. That game sounds weird.
So obviously the way to solve the problem and get rid of this guy is to invade his mind with your personas and go over into some sort of alternate reality where the high school turns into a mind palace for this place.
So it's like you're the dungeon's like in his head.
So this is the dungeon's in his head. But it's based loosely on the school.
Yeah. This is a JRPG based on The Cell, the Jennifer Lopez movie.
Ooh, kind of.
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
It's kind of like that.
Okay. I just got way more interested.
I'm going to say, calling The Cell the Jennifer Lopez movie is doing a great disservice to The Cell and the director, Tarzan.
I'm just saying that's how Tarzan? People would know it.
Tarzan.
It's a music that's what director. I said, Tarzan.
That's just how people would recognize it. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, remember that scene where the horse gets chopped off in a bunch of pieces?
Are you talking about The Godfather?
Yeah, sure.
But the actual combat itself is pretty interesting. But I brought a track. Cap, would you mind playing that?
Oh, yeah, of course. But of course.
The Persona track.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. We got music?
We do.
Well, we're just going to kind of play it in the background while I continue to talk about this game.
And Doug, can you dim the lights a little bit? Just for,
like, okay, so the combat is normal sort of turn-based combat. You've got your little guy that you can summon, and he does huge damage. You've got guns for some reason, so you can just pull guns out and shoot them. And this song plays through the entire time you fight. This lyrical song just plays on repeat until you finish a battle. And when you're in a dungeon, battles happen like every 5 steps.
Does the song repeat from the beginning?
No, it starts at the beginning. Every time you...
You mean like this?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Every time you get in a battle, it's this.
I mean, doesn't every turn-based game do that?
Yeah, but it's a little bit more excusable when, one, it doesn't have such a loud opening fanfare, and two, there isn't English lyrics.
Oh, is it English? Oh, well, they always do that.
I want to hear the lyrics now.
They always do English.
Yeah, skip a little bit further
into
it. It'll
be like, konnichiwa, my heart to you, and then it'll go back to Japanese. Wait. No one hears your cries.
Had an accident and no one hears your cries.
You'll never see it coming. What does this have to do with the battle? You'll never see it coming?
It doesn't have much to do with the battle.
It's just sort of like
a really generic... I'm kicking your ass, I'm better than you type of song.
I feel like this song should only happen when you get surprise attacks.
The fact they only
attacked.
Have one song for a battle is absurd.
Yeah. And it's only this one song with lyrics.
Oh, you don't actually know that because you're only 12 hours into the game. It might change later.
I'm only 12 hours
into the game. You're only in the first dungeon.
No, it really is. It really is. Some of the YouTube comments are like, there are people going, oh, I love this song. And somebody else is like, well, I hope you love it because you're going to be hearing it over and over and over and over again. With lyrics like this. Why, just a picosecond ago, clear blue skies, but now lightning struck your last resolve. It's not an accident that no one hears your cries as your last strength seems to dissolve. You'll never see it coming. You'll see that my mind is too fast for eyes. You're done in. By the time it's hit you, your last surprise.
Does no one like get a translator to see if this makes sense to the English audience?
They don't
audience?
Care. It's about the feeling. It's about the feeling inside. The phonetics are really nice. The meaning, not there. But
yeah,
I think there's only one song in English in Nier.
I have a theory on why they do this, and that's because.
Dude, tell us the theory.
Oh God, it started over again. My theory is that if you could imagine this being Japanese lyrics, it wouldn't be as annoying, would it?
No, because now you can't understand them and focus on them.
Yeah. So I'm thinking since this is a Japanese game originally and they didn't change the music.
And it's in English.
I don't think, based on what you told me, I'm going to be playing this ever.
But Ben, I mean, like...
My game has mostly French music, like mostly French lyrics. that I can't understand. I like that part. It should just be that part on repeat. Just
yeah, but it happens like every couple of minutes
or seconds.
If I can get Cap recording really like four covers of this where he's just beatboxing and then we just lay it on top, then that would have a variation of 10 feet.
Can we make a video game where every time a turn-based battle appears, it's just like Gregorian monk chants?
Is it like Dark Souls or something?
Oh, that would be good.
Now,
I will say, when playing Final Fantasy 15, I got so sick of that music, especially driving in the car.
You can change the station
to other shit music.
You can put it on shuffle. It's all music from other video games. You can put it on shuffle.
Yeah, all music from other Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy VI. Come
it's just
on,
like,
great.
It's super fucking slow piano.
Well,
and
at least
like,
it's slow piano music and it's not lyrical.
Wait,
but
it's
I
not,
have
yes,
had this
yes.
problem before.
How is
Cap,
it slow piano music?
I gave Cap another song. This is a song from Blue Dragon, which is another JRPG.
That game's I like that game.
It's an awesome game,
oh,
but this
awesome.
Is the boss battle music. And boss battles can last 20 to 30 minutes, so you'll hear this song
3 minutes and 52 seconds
on repeat. So you'll hear it maybe 10 times for like one really long boss fight.
Let's hear what it sounds like when it loops. Here's the very end of it.
Yeah,
it's kicking solo. Here we go. Yeah. Okay, and then
yeah, it just kind of. Oh, it really does that. It's a little bit more seamless because they crossfade into it in the game. But
wow!
Yeah, after you hear this about five times in a loop, you start want to kill yourself.
Is this in English but, too? Did it?
Yeah,
yeah,
it
is. This is English.
Run
yeah.
for the hills.
Wait, who fucking sings this? This sounds.
I don't know.
This sounds like some classic heavy metal lyricism right there.
The music isn't bad, but
they got drunk.
I'm pretty sure it's Nobuo Uematsu.
It's got the same problem that the other one had, is that it's got lyrics, and yeah. you can hear them too well.
Didn't the Black Mage just do the soundtrack
The point I was going to say is that when I was sick of all the music in Final Fantasy 15, I'm like, dude, I'm just not digging the tone of the music and everything. I changed their costumes to be more of like the punky kind of whatever, and I changed, I turned off the music for Final Fantasy 15 and just played Spotify, and I had that mix of like really bad.
I wanted to bring that up. That was my next point. Cap,
really
go ahead and cut
like,
the music.
Yeah, really. I did really early like 90s, like Ace of Base and like all these other like club 90s mixes, and I was fucking laughing my ass off. Like all the one hit wonders of early 90s. With these pop punk look. They look like a boy band.
That's the beauty
around.
Of these new systems. Replaying, is yeah, you think. Can do that on Persona 5.
Yes.
And I have done that as of like last night. I got so sick of that battle theme.
Uh-huh.
That I put on a Spotify station, and luckily, when you put on a Spotify station, it replaces all of the music in the game.
Wait, did they build that in, or just happens when
PlayStation
you do that?
4 does
yeah.
that?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I feel like
dude,
there's something wrong
I'm
when
not,
your game
I'm
lets
not
you do
even
that.
Kidding when I say my Final Fantasy 15 experience tripled its enjoyment.
How do you
as soon
not
as
like
I did that.
Other Final Fantasy songs? If
I don't like other Final Fantasy
I didn't have that,
games,
I didn't,
not all
like,
slow. Like
I didn't have
that
problem with
up.
Final Fantasy 15
because it wasn't like oh my ears ow. It was just like dude, this is putting me to sleep. Like it just was not.
No.
It was not
that's
mirroring.
Valid.
I guess
it was not mirroring the action that I was doing.
Like, I like that because I know when I'm driving in a car for an hour, I'm like, this is really relaxing music,
folks. I want to say something real quick. Yeah. That Blue Dragon track, that was Ian Gillan from Deep Purple.
What? Are you kidding
yeah!
me?
What?
Nobody's gonna drive my car.
What's Deep Purple?
A band.
A fucking band.
I don't know who that is.
They're in
Smoke
rock
on
band.
The Water.
Bow, bow, bow,
really?
Bow, bow, bow,
wow.
Bow,
okay. Was that an Uematsu song too? That wouldn't surprise me.
It's got to be right. He did.
I thought he did the soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he
did.
Yeah.
They sing Hush like Hush, Hush. Thought I heard a call of my name.
I don't know. They're pretty old band. They're from the
70s.
Yeah,
like the 60s. They're from
anyway,
like the late 60s.
I've been complaining about Persona 5 quite a bit here, but I have been having a lot of fun with it, except for the point where there is. So at a certain point that dungeon with the bad volleyball coach guy that you have to get rid of him by stealing his heart and making him confess his crimes is the goal. But you have to do this before a board meeting where he's going to have you guys expelled.
Are you timed?
There's a calendar in the
game.
I'm
not playing this game if you're fucking
You need to make a Deep Purple playlist on Spotify.
Oh by the way,
play the shit out of this game.
Doug, they do perform Hush.
Nice. There. No, you have to.
So anyway, there's a calendar in the game, and if you don't have like the dungeon beat by a certain time, you lose, game over completely.
Wait, like how do you reload your save game even if you're like, not anywhere near?
That happened to me, and I tried to reload my save game, but I didn't realize I was already on that path to not being able to...
Like no matter what you did.
Yeah, like no matter what I did, I couldn't have gone faster and gotten
it over. Fuck this game, no. What if you're like 50 hours in, you're in a dungeon?
But after you lose, then they send you back 1 week. So they roll you back.
It's been...
So they roll you back a week, which... sounds like a lot, and it's probably like 80% of the dungeon I have to go back through.
Does your progress, like levels and experience, roll back too?
Yes.
Oh, fuck,
absolutely
that.
Everything rolled back. I went from like being a level 12 to like a level 6.
What if you did 20 side quests in that week and then went to the dungeon and had to fail?
Well, this game's a little different in that side quests are sort of
they're not like that
timed. So like you can only do a certain amount of things each day. Like you can do one thing after
Dora's
school.
Mask.
One thing in the evening, and then you have to sleep, and then you go to school, and then you can do another thing.
Sounds like a dating simulator.
It feels kind of like a dating simulator, except for without the dating.
But the date is with Destiny?
Yeah.
The date is with the
yeah. I'm never going to play
Persona.
That's so not far from.
Yeah, I'm not playing. I'm not, this game sounds goddamn frustrating. That's the opposite of what
and
I want to
like,
play right
and
now.
And it's like you date yourself in real life, too, because you just go home. And
it's
you just,
frustrating
close the door.
As shit. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think I'm going to endure it and finish the game, though.
What if you get to the end and you just keep getting rolled back by a week?
I'm going to learn to... I learned this time to watch the calendar.
There's got
to
be an item that
And I actually understand
out.
What's going on with the calendar, because on the calendar it said I had to have the dungeon beat by this date. And I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't realize that you had to go beat the dungeon, come out, and then have to do like 2 days worth of shit before you could go back in and actually finish the dungeon. So I wasn't managing my time properly.
I feel like they didn't explain how to manage your time properly. You need a time management program.
And after that huge tutorial,
you
have to have an in-game app.
There is in-game apps. There's an in-game calendar app and everything. Gosh.
I need a game that I can just jump right into, and that is not what I need right now at all.
Well, if it makes you feel better about trying it for the first 3 hours or so, you don't have to actually think much. It's mostly watching a movie.
Well, I got a game that I was playing that you could totally jump right into, but I think you probably already played it because it's older.
I haven't.
I probably
whatever have. You're saying.
It was because I saw the trailer for Shadow of War. I decided to play Shadow of Mordor because I had it and I hadn't played it yet.
Okay, I haven't either. Actually,
well, let's talk about this. Okay, Shadow of Mordor is a game that I know lots of people love, and it's Lord of the Rings based. Mm-hmm. Don't know anything else about it.
A lot of good ratings.
So, what's Shadow of War?
Shadow of War is the sequel that was just announced recently.
Okay.
And
I was gonna say, is that like a knockoff? Like off brand?
No.
Mordor
no.
was telling me about it earlier.
You heard about Shadows of Mordor. How about the unlicensed Shadows of War?
No. it's the sequel. It's the direct sequel.
No, I played a lot of the first game and it's great. How far into it did you get?
I beat it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got further than me because I put it down at some point because I got really pissed off.
What happens in the end?
I just want to ask, did you ever at a point, like you have to go and fight these war
Yes.
orc captains or whatever? And then have you ever beheaded one?
Yes.
And then had that same captain walk up and be like, oh, thought you got rid of me, did you?
And I'd heard that that was a problem.
That's just a glitch, right?
That's just a glitch because there's different ways you can kill. Here's the thing, right? You have finishing moves. And if you do a finishing move on an orc in the middle of the open fields or whatever, he'll like maybe cut him in the neck and he'll knock him down or he'll stab him really bad and then he falls down. But if you pin the orc up against a wall, if you're fighting him and the orc's back is against the wall and he can't like dodge and you do that finishing move, then you cut his head clean
off. So it's kind of hard to finish off these enemies.
Well, no, because a lot, dude, like 9 times out of 10, you finish off one of these orc chiefs. Even if you just stab him through the gut, they'll never come back. But 1 out of 10 times, you stab him through the gut. So in other words, his head didn't come off.
It's someone that was too vital to the story that you can't really kill.
Well, no, it's random. It's not even vital to the story.
Oh, I thought it was just because...
No, there's random ones. Like, they fucking come back randomly. Like, the orcs that did come back for me, not the same orcs that would come back for you, and they're not on, like, specific missions. It all just is random depending on how you killed them. what their weaknesses were, and
emotionally involved with killing this one orc captain.
Because
he was killing me just repeatedly.
Yes.
So I wanted to beat the living shit out of that guy, and I finally did. And this is the guy where it happened.
You cut his head off.
I cut his head off. Oh, it was rolling on the ground.
Yeah.
He walked up to his own head and was like, "Oh, you thought you got rid of me, did ya?"
Are you sure it was the same guy?
It was the same guy.
Was he headless?
No.
Well, then he's not the same guy.
It's just I'm sorry that you had that. I'd heard that was a glitch that had happened before, and thankfully,
Here's the thing. Maybe they patched it, and I need to give it another try.
That's the thing, because I played Game of the Year Edition, and it had a couple patches, but I installed it, so I didn't have any problems like that.
What kind of, by the way, because I've never played before, style of gameplay is this?
It's kind of Assassin's Creed. It's kind of open world. It has elements of Assassin's Creed. It's third person sort of slasher.
Okay.
But there's stealth elements too. It depends on how you want to play. I was surprised at how
that's open. A you want to play type game where you could do stealthy, but it's really not as fun.
But in this case it could be fun, because here's the thing, right?
the basic premise
of the game is you were a mortal man who was on the wall. You fought for Gondor, but something happened where you had to go to the wall, kind of like Game of Thrones, for like as punishment, you have to go stand on the wall that's facing Mordor. And we don't know that Sauron's coming back. This is before the movies and books take place. And you're on guarding the wall of Mordor, and you're sort of living your life there, but you're allowed to have a family and kids. It's just, you know, kind of not the greatest place out there, but you're doing your job. Anyway, unbeknownst to you, Sauron is coming back, and he sends out like his what he calls like the Black Hand, and they're like they're not the Nazgul ring wraiths, but they're big badass guys, and they storm the gate where you are because they're taking back all these fortresses, and they kill you. And when they kill you and your wife and your son, they do it in this like bloodletting ceremony. It's really fucking creepy. It's like members of Pinhead's group out of Hellraiser, and Cenobites. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. And as they're doing this,
which I would also maybe say is a perfect alternate name for the pizza ruleta, because they're sinful when you bite into them.
Oh God!
But I also want to say, the first one I had, I thought to myself, you know what? These are exponentially better when they're fresh out the oven. But then I had the second one, and I was like, still good. So
It's fine. I'd be more impressed.
It's roulette-like in that way.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I think we need to try them in their ultimate form. I think that's the problem.
So anyway, this is the opening like cinematic of the game, right? The tutorial is like maybe 6 minutes long, I gotta say. Anyway, so
it's only 6 minutes, guys.
Yeah, so anyway, so they slice your throat, and you're dying, and he's like, Celebrimbor, come to me, give me your power. And then you get like Sam Raimi, first person view of the spirit swirling around, but it goes past that weird demon guy who was trying to summon him and goes into your body.
Was he like flicking the guy off the whole time? Like, oh, you thought you're getting me, screw you.
That's kind of is what happened, where it's just like, because the spirit of this long dead elf from like thousands of years ago is in your body. And he's like, listen, and all of a sudden you find yourself alive in the rain and everything. And you're like, what's happened to me? And he's just like, I've brought you back from the brink of death, because with you, I'm going to make things right. And you're like, well, who are you? And he goes, I don't remember. I've been wandering, whatever. And they want me for my power. And you're just like, what the fuck? So it becomes this buddy cop story
except they share a body.
So like, it's
so
like
a body cop film.
Yeah, it's a body cop. It's a buddy body cop film. It's like, you ever see that movie All of Me with Steve Martin?
No, but I've seen Cop and a Half. That movie's great.
Is it not Cop and a Half? So it's like the Steve Martin movie All of Me with Lily Tomlin, where they're both in the same body, and except now you're trying to solve this problem, and you find out Celebrimbor, you find out what his history
is.
Are
you making that up, or is that a real name?
That's his name.
Celebrimbor.
It's Celebrimbor. I believe it's Celebrimbor. Abracadabra. Anyway, so important shit happens. You find out who he is and why that's a really big deal. And you can, because you are dead, the game mechanic of you can't die. So every time an orc kills you, it kills you. But then Celebrimbor takes your body and just brings you back to like one of these save points.
But doesn't
points,
that negate any sort of like tension in the game if you can't die, or is there some consequence?
I mean,
for
a lot of games, there is a
consequence.
Save points and games. No,
but
it's a thing.
Yeah.
The consequence of dying is that the orc that kills you, even if it's a nameless orc, so let's just say a nameless orc kills you, you get swarmed to like 30 orcs, and you're just, fuck, I can't keep up, and a nameless orc just stabs you in the back, and you die, and then he's just like, Oh, I killed the grave walker. Looks like I'm going to be promoted. And it cuts to the map of all the enemies that you have on your, like, this chart of all these enemies. And that no-name orc gets a title, gets a promotion, and his level meter goes up. And he's like, rah! And he gets armor thrown on him.
So they get,
shit,
like, stronger if you fail.
Yes.
That sounds really cool.
And then it's, you're like, fuck, I'm going to get that son of a bitch.
Yeah, the whole thing is about infiltrating orc society. And so you have, yeah, like...
Why are the orcs always the bad guys? In every game.
Their organizational chart that you have to, like, cut down.
Yeah. Huh. Anyway, so you do these side quests where you rescue slaves because they'll take human slaves and you have to free them and everything. And you build up, you unlock these new powers that Celebrimbor will remember. Oh, I can do this thing. And then, like, he gives you that power. And really cool stuff. Eventually you get to a point where you can, you'll grab an orc and you can interrogate them for their knowledge, because Celebrimbor, his spirit will, like, he'll grab him by the head and he's like, open your mind, and you dive into his brain and you can see who his bosses are, and then you can reveal them on the map and figure out, like, how to strike back at Sauron and shit.
Wow, that sounds like a weird 21st century spin on, I guess it was still in the 21st century, but the Punisher game, the amazing Punisher game.
I never
Xbox.
Played that. But anyway, the point being, you eventually get to a point where when you grab someone, instead of killing them and torture them for information, you can brand them and they will then work for you. And suddenly you can start to build your literal own orc army that is loyal to you and send them to go fight and take down other war chiefs.
Yeah, and they'll
shit.
Pretty much go back and just pretend like they're not under your control.
Yeah, and they'll pretend like they're not under control. And then whenever you want, you hit a button on the D-pad and you'd be like,
now
you know
it's time.
Now it
let's
time,
do
now
it.
It is time. And they all fucking go, yes! And they just start killing their buddies around them.
Like Zug Zug.
Yeah. Anyway, so... Yeah. It was a little bit.
Dabu.
It got a little. I was afraid it would get a little bit repetitive, but I like Lord of the Rings, and I feel like that it was giving me a lot of backstory and lore that just isn't in the books. And
oh,
shit.
There's a lot. Like,
yeah,
the origin of the ring.
Did it actually? Yeah. Did it actually make this stuff up, or is this canon that was originally written?
I think
somewhere?
Some. Dude, I don't know. I think a lot
I
of it is made
right,
up.
Right. I think that they drew a lot of inspiration out of the Silmarillion.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of that.
Certain things are
mixed
like
into
for
it,
sure, yeah.
But they definitely embellish.
They took where there was information, like Celebrimbor and like his kind of story. They have like that's like legit straight out of it or whatever. But then like these other side things, like these people, the humans who lived to the south of Mordor that you never really hear about.
Yeah.
Like you find out about them, and then like Mordor has an area that's kind of green by like this beach, and you're like, what the fuck? There's like an area of Mordor where there's trees, and it's like, yeah, the orcs hate it here, but this is where they grow the bread that feeds the orcs.
Plus,
like,
there must
oh,
be
shit. That's have, right. They yeah. eat too. Like where do they get their food?
They also have here. Paper. There must be trees.
Exactly. So it's like there's things like that where you're like, oh shit, I never even thought about
and
that.
They there's really like grog too.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just shows you how they make all this stuff. Anyway, so it was I finished that, and it was very satisfying, and it got to the – because I saw the trailer for the second one, and I'm like, how the fuck are they going to make a second
damn
one?
Damn it, now I want to play it again.
But if you finish it,
you know,
when you finish it, it leaves it off at a point where you feel satisfied for playing the game. It's not a cliffhanger, and you're like, oh, damn, if they ever made a sequel to this – I can see how the upgrade would be supremely badass.
Well, doesn't the sequel take place way later?
No, the sequel, I don't know about way later, but it does take place after
Sauron. After
the no, before Lord of the Rings happens. This definitely takes place before the Frodo and the ring and everything like that.
Huh. Because what I heard an hour ago from Boar somewhat is that the plot of the new game is basically your, I think, possessed again. I don't know if you're the same character, but by the blacksmith of the guy, the person who actually made the ring.
Yeah.
That's Celebrimbor.
Celebrimbor is the elf who was tricked into making the one ring.
Oh, so
Sauron.
He's you again
him, yeah.
in the second game. But
yeah,
maybe later on.
Yeah, he's in your body and he's just like, I know who I am now. Holy shit, I have to make up for this because I've fucking doomed Middle Earth. So you and him together are like trying to make
no
right
one else
happen.
In all those years could make another cool ring.
Well, dude. Spoiler alert, it's not a spoiler because they say it in the second in the trailer for the second game. You end the game and Celebrimbor is like, you know, he's in your body and he's just like, okay, well, we just killed other important people. It's time to go after the big bad guy himself, Sauron. And you're like, well, what do we do? And he's like, it's time to make a new ring. And you're like, oh, fuck. Because the whole time he's a ringmaker. He made the rings of power. He made the one ring through them all. So he's like, I'm going to make a new fucking ring. And it's going to be...
Oh, and this is not ring. In any of the books or anything.
That is not in any of the books. This is your story.
Are they just doing this so they can make another movie about the new one ring?
No, because this is the story. You are playing the story. You are going to get that fucking one ring, and you're going to make an army that can match Sauron and fight against
him. And it's
going
to be an RTS game.
That'd be a real shit move if they just made a whole game to set up a movie.
The second game looks like it looks like a real-time strategy game where you were on the ground and just like fucking... an unstoppable.
And wait, they changed the gameplay?
No, it's the same, but like you can command armies and shit. It's hard to explain.
I feel like
the gameplay trailer, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Because you're a blacksmith, I thought it would be really cool if you were actually trying to build a forge and just getting materials to upgrade weapons
like
and armor
or something.
And you're actually making like you're just
but
supplying
you
the weapons for
game,
the army.
In the second game you start making your own armor
you
and
finally
you
get the mithril and then your army starts
yeah
kicking
that's
ass.
What happens. So the second game is taking everything about that and expanding upon it. So I'm like, whoa, I am way more excited for that second game knowing what the first game was and how the second game is expanding. And I didn't think I'd be as interested in it as
I feel like I'm gonna play that game way before I play Persona 5.
I'll let you
sounds like a game I could probably sit down in a couple afternoons and beat.
You could yeah. You totally could, especially if you just go straight storyline, because I did all these side quests, got super OP'd, and then
see that's
killed the
I'm kind of sick of that at this point, getting overpowered and then I can't enjoy
yeah
the
just
story.
Dude, just play the storyline, it'll be great. And I'll loan you
but
a copy.
I won't get that really cool fucking sword.
They should make a mod for Shadow of Mordor where the Persona 5 theme starts up every time you get in a fight with orcs.
And here's the other thing. So when you're playing Shadow of Mordor, you have like a sword and a dagger, these things or whatever. If you do these side missions, you start upgrading your sword. Because you know how like Sting is like feared among orcs? Like, ah, oh, that's
even
whatever.
Though it's like tiny, like a pencil. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Narsil's like, that blade was broken. They like each weapon has like a legend to it.
Or in like a name.
You
yeah.
start building a legend of each of your weapons if you start doing
I hope
side
it's
quests.
Randomized like Diablo 3. Like,
well,
the sword of lightning.
The idea is like they're supposed to recognize your sword if you do enough of the sword quest missions or whatever.
Oh, cool.
And you get like these elven engravings on there which give it different powers. Where
and
it's
you can
like
kind of customize it. And that's the new game coming out.
No, that's the current one, dude. You can add these elven things. Yes, in Shadowmoor. You can add engravings to your sword. Customize it, remove an engraving.
Can you make
new
it
one?
So it glows whenever there's an orc nearby?
No, that's lame.
I mean, you could use your eyes
you
and
one.
See all the orcs
got,
right in front
you
of
got,
you.
You can do one where it's like you get a hit streak of like 10 in a row, and it will start to the blade will catch fire and burn enemies as you cut them.
Light a torch with it?
You can take an arrow and fire the arrow, and it can be a flaming arrow. And if you shoot a fire, like they're all sitting around a campfire, if you hit it with that, it'll explode the campfire, taking out like 20
I used
orcs.
To be... adventure till I took an arrow to the knee.
Anyway, I'll let you borrow it because it is a fun one. And you can finish
Skyrim
it so
reference.
Fast if you want.
I caught it.
Never gets old, just kidding.
all right. We got to give shout out to the awesome people.
What are you, Matthew McConaughey?
All right. We gotta give shout out to the awesome people who make Nerdy Show possible. Not just this show, but all the shows on the Nerdy Show Network.
All 37 of them.
There are over 100 people, and they are giving us over $1,000 collectively because they are amazing.
No, I meant the shows. There's like 37 shows.
It's not 37 shows. There's like 12. I don't know. There's a bunch that aren't like hiatus. I don't know. There's a lot of shows, but there's only a few that are on at any given time. There's cycles.
In a week, yeah.
Anyway, we got a new patron. Bor, who's this new patron?
Our new patron's name is Seth Lipton.
Welcome,
thanks, Seth.
And you can, so on Patreon, patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can give it $1. You can get early releases of episodes and a bunch of backlog bonus content, $5 or more. And you get all kinds of new content, including there's been a lot of outtakes from stuff. There's outtakes from our Richard Kelly interview episode, not the interview itself, we left all that in, but lots of like extra bonus chat between Mike Rothman from Consequence of Sound and I, and just hours and hours of different content behind the scenes on some of our biggest productions, exclusive episodes as well, and more and more and more and more. But if you just want to give to us by casually shopping at Amazon, you can do that too.
You can also mail cash and send it straight to the mailbox.
Well, you can digitally
big
mail
wads.
Cash. You can do one-time
cash.
Donations. Nerdyshow.com/support has all the ways you can.
We only accept $2 bills and $1 gold coins if you're sending physical currency.
I mean, that is true, actually. But if you shop on Amazon via our affiliate links, anything you buy or anything someone else buys, if you trick them into doing it, or have them do it willingly.
Bookmark it on their computer.
It gives back to us. For example, Diz Don Bates did exactly that.
And
oh,
tricked
hey.
Somebody?
Well, this no, he didn't trick somebody.
This is what he wrote.
But he took someone else's thing through our link, and now it benefits us.
You want me to read this?
Yes, please.
That's what I have. This source. He says he bought the book and movie called Last Living Confederate Widow for my wife, who wants to use it for her students as an example of Civil War individuals outside the textbook. Whatever out of that $12 plus shipping is with love.
Thank you, Dizdon.
Thank you. Every penny, every singular penny counts and keeps the lights on.
Does.
The gas lights that we have. and the candles that we have just in case.
Now, I mentioned one-time donations. There was a one-time donation we got a while back, but Doug, it's actually been a while since you've been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Long enough that this has been collecting cobwebs, and we've read this before, but I just wanted to bring it
just
up because
like your
it
mom.
Pertains specifically to you.
Okay.
Brianna Bennett gave us a donation specifically for Ghostbusters Resurrection, the Ghostbusters role-playing show that you game master. She says, $1 to you for each episode of the first season of Ghostbusters Resurrection.
Oh, shit.
Listening through the second season, so far, Tailwind Terror is my favorite episode, hoping one day Agent Ortiz will be in it.
Hmm.
So what do you say, Doug? Will Agent Ortiz from the IDW Ghostbusters comic make an appearance in Ghostbusters Resurrection somehow?
Not likely in season 3.
Boo.
but in all seriousness, I think like if we make it to season 4, that is highly probable.
Oh wow.
Highly probable.
So support Ghostbusters Resurrection. Check it out if you've never listened to it. It's one of my favorite shows and one of our biggest shows. If you
it's one of my favorite shows too. What a coincidence.
I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to start listening to it tomorrow.
we just put out an episode like just a few days ago, kind of off schedule, a microsode topic requested by Dr. Talos. And that was the topic was science fantasy. And we brought with us Matt Wilson, who is an author of many books about supervillains, and also the author of the forthcoming comic Everything Will Be Okay, which is currently in its last days of Kickstarter. We'll link to it on this episode's page if you want to check that out. But Dr. Talos, who requested that episode, wrote in and said, "Oh, wow. Once again, the Nerdy Show crew knocked this one out the park. I listened to this right away when the Patreon notice came through and absolutely loved it. By the way, even if you can't support us on Patreon, you can actually follow us on Patreon and any public updates you'll get, kind of like a newsletter. So give that a whirl. Not only did you reference a number of franchises that I'm a huge fan of, you delivered the Nerdy Show goods, diverse perspective on nerdy properties with things I'd never heard of and implications I had not figured. I had never considered Masters of the Universe to be my earliest science fantasy influence as well, but it probably was. Watched it from before age 4. All hosts did a great job. Brian's input was insightful and offered me things to explore. Jess had me thinking in unexpected ways. Matt was very entertaining, enough to convince me to back his Kickstarter, and Cap did a great job leading the show." Thank you, Dr. Talos.
Glowing review.
Mm. Yeah. So it was a fun microsode to record, so check it out if you haven't heard it yet. And we do have a tier on Patreon that allows for you to have a monthly shout out. Whatever you want can change all the time. But Jeffrey McSorley, he has a reoccurring shout out, and that's actually for the benefit of Nerdy Show because he's super duper generous. It's on a sheet of paper right
1, 2, 3, not
Doug,
it.
I would like you to read it.
I think I've done it 3 times, so it's Doug's turn.
You have read a lot, haven't you?
Well, I know I've read that specific one that he's done.
Okay. Do you have old shirts? Shirts that are nerdy but have holes in them?
Yes.
Or simply are too stretched out from wearing them over the last 1, 2, or even 5 years?
Moths.
15 years.
Yeah.
Well, boy, howdy, do I have a suggestion for you.
Listening.
Toss out your old crummy clothes, or donate to a thrift store, and replace them with genuine Nerdy Show t-shirts.
Sounds like a lot of money.
Yeah, you heard me right. You, too, can replace your faded Mario and Game of Thrones tees with the likes of your favorite Nerdy Show Network. Oh, your favorite Nerdy Show Network show. That's even more specific. Show your support for Nerdy Show to your friends, or just get a Peek-a-Thor and astound all around you with its glory. And don't forget, they even come in kid sizes. Yes, even the Friday Night fan fiction ones. So go ahead, eliminate the ragged shirts of yesteryear and replace your wardrobe with all the shirts that Nerdy Show has to offer. Just follow the links at nerdyshow.com/nerdystore.
Pike-a-Thor. Hey, thank you, Jeffrey. didn't recently, and I don't
Pike-a-Thor.
Remember, but I feel like I gave you a bunch of my old video game shirts.
You did, yeah.
And they're literally 20 years old. They're amazing. Did I give you the Mario Brothers sweater that doesn't fit me anymore?
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if
I was about to
I had the Star Fox one that I won from like when Star Fox or Super Nintendo came out. There was like a thing you could play at either Toys R Us or Target.
Dude, I won a bunch of shirts. I'm so fucking old. I was like about to name several games that I thought were 20 years old, but they're really like 30 or 40 years old.
Mario,
I'm like,
oh, what,
like Contra? Oh, like Pac-Man? Like,
there's 40-year-old games that you could name?
Did you say Pac-Man? Yeah,
like
Pac-Man predates.
Yeah. besides that one.
Yeah, like Space Invaders or
Moonwalker.
Moonwalker's not 40 years old.
Moon Jumper. No, the one where you're the Jeep on the moon. I forget what it's called, and you can shoot up and straight. Not the Michael Jackson game. Moon Jumper? You know what I remember?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't remember. Anyhow,
ski free
anyhow,
the shirt.
A quick note about the shirts.
We should make that.
This episode's recording, Amazon
just says ski free.
Amazon has done a stupid thing.
Uh-oh.
And you will find that most of our shirts are presently unavailable because they switched from American Apparel to a different brand.
What?
And in doing so, instead of having an instantaneous transfer, for some reason it's taken weeks. So
what brand is it? American Apparel makes the best shirts.
They do. It's something comparable. I don't
American
know why
Apparel
went
bankrupt though. They like went off the stock market and everything.
What? But I still go to their store and buy things. They're some of the only places that still fit.
They must have gone private.
You know what it is? It's because their shirts are made in America, and since everyone that's more
I don't
expensive.
Think their shirts are made.
These new shirts are made in China.
They are actually. Yeah, they know that they're made in
the new shirts that Amazon switched to are like Chinese.
All right, I didn't want to say disparaging word, but damn,
that's why they went out of business, because making things in America actually isn't profitable.
Honestly, the history of American Apparel is a sordid and fascinating tale, which we shall not get into, but you can look it up and you'll be like wow, that guy who used to own them was crazy.
Went back to the Nazis and racism. It was
anyway
crazy.
Anyway, so add those shirts to your wish list. You can pick them up. And hey, if you just want to spend some money at the Nerdy Store, we got stickers for Nerdy Show. Put a Nerdy Show sticker on your car. What are you waiting for?
Or on your crotch.
Doritos. We got comic books. We got dice bags. All kinds of stuff. Anyway, back to other things. This week, I will be at Star Wars Celebration along with Matt Spill from State of the Empire and some other folks you might know, like folks from Sci-Fi.
Spill's going to be here.
Yep.
Oh, man.
At Star Wars Celebration, Brandon, you try and stop him.
No. Not gonna. You can enjoy that.
Shortly after that, I will be on an episode of Earth's Mightiest Podcast, specifically their X-Men show, talking about recent X-Men books and also Lightning Dogs. And in the coming months, in May, I'll be in MoogFest, and June, I'll be in Heroes Con, and in July, I'll be at San Diego Comic Con.
And then in August, you'll be able to play Zelda again.
And in August, I'll be in a coffin.
Yep.
I certainly hope not.
Covered in Nerdy Show stickers. Really cool.
Okay, so neural networks. Am I right? Of course I am.
Man, that was a good segue.
It was. It was bad on purpose. So thanks for breaking that. there's a Tumblr that we were directed to on the Nerdy Show Lounge, which is a special place for Nerdy Show fans and hosts to hang out via Patreon. A Tumblr by someone called Disexplications, and they made a post not so very long ago. It said a couple years ago, someone attempted to make a list of every video game ever made and put it into a 6.5 megabyte flat file. Like any sensible person, I used it to train a recurrent neural network. And through this, they generated a bunch of names for things that don't exist.
Specifically video games, right?
Yeah, video game titles. The titles, the year they came out, who made them, and what platform they were for.
So these like multiverse games?
Yeah, they're like basically multiverse games.
Like Gunman and shit? All right.
I'm really confused as to what the point of this is.
To make me nonstop laugh, because these things are incredible. For example...
you can't even read
for
it.
For example, Dank Dragon.
Dank Dragon. All right.
A 2004 game by Konami.
All right.
And the platform is VIC-20, which must be an ancient system. I have no idea what that is.
So it's taking words from random games and matching them.
Yeah, it's taking the logic of game titles and restructuring them into alternatives on that format. There's actually four separate lists of this stuff, and you'll see... you'll see certain concepts sort of repeat because of how often they appear
in like actual video games.
Yeah.
Well, read us another.
Dick of the King.
What? Where does fucking Dick come from?
I don't know.
I'm sure that sounds like a Disney game.
That's a 2007 Activision title. SpongeBob Street Revolution.
What? That actually sounds fucking amazing.
That's a 2012 by Telltale, and it's for iOS.
And it's an FPS.
I could see that being a real game.
That sounds really cool.
I think that one's just fortune telling.
Yeah.
No, it's only a matter of time.
That, you know, this might be sort of a relation to the phenomenon of the bootleg Bart Simpson or the bootleg games of the early 1980s. Black Mario.
It's literally called Black Mario.
Where does it even get that?
1983, made by SoftSice for Linux and Unix.
Okay.
I'm sure that game does exist somewhere.
King of Death 2, The Search of the Dog Space.
The search of the what?
The dog space.
The search of the dog space.
The Search of the Dog Space.
Yeah.
All right.
2010 for Windows.
King of Death sounds like a Capcom. Great fucking game. And King of Death 2 sounds epic as hell.
You know, there's a lot of sports games. So many sports games that, in fact, one of the names it generated was simply golf.
I played that.
Yeah, I played that before.
Yeah, but that's nothing quite compared to what I assume was the follow-up, 1985's Deep Golf.
Deep Golf.
Wow. My ball's going deep. Deep Golf. <Yeah. laughs> Gotta get in that hole.
Do you guys remember the first Resident Evil game?
Yeah, it's called Resident Evil.
It had special novelty glasses, like the, you know, how they had for the Master System.
No.
Though this was admittedly for the Amstrad CPC. I'm not even sure what that is. But 1984, a little game came out. You might have heard of Resident Evil 3D Void Edition.
No, 3D Void Edition. Wow,
Resident Evil 3D Void Edition.
And who could forget? Who could forget my favorite point and click adventure of the mid 90s, The Apple of the Conspiracy.
Is that the title of
yeah.
The Apple of the Conspiracy? These all sound like games I would probably play at least for 5 minutes.
Or the To the Point Simulator.
Simulator.
How great would it be? Has anyone made a game that's a simulator of a simulator? Like it's a simulator simulator.
There's like Game Dev Sim.
Simulator, 1989, Spiggy for the ZX Spectrum.
What the ZX Spectrum sounds like something on the space shuttle.
It's like you open up the box for that game and it's just a mirror and you're like, oh, fuck, we're in a simulation.
And you just stare at it for 20 minutes and you're just like, this is
what
legit.
Do I do? Yeah. What do I do with my
life? Do you guys remember Konami's brief attempt to cash in on the success of the Tycoon franchise?
No.
Like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Refresh my memory. Yeah.
Zoo Tycoon.
Yeah. 2000's Mutant Tycoon.
Mutant Tycoon?
That sounds great, actually.
That's the mobile app for Lightning Dogs.
Well, they released it for Game Boy Color.
Wait, what year?
2000.
Okay, I was like, if it was like 2015 but for Game Boy Color, I'd be like, that's pretty cool of them. But... oh man.
Also, who could forget Alien Pro Basketball?
Alien Pro, that's fucking awesome. Alien Pro Basketball.
It's like Mutant League Football, but
on know. The cover's Dennis Rodman for a Men in Black.
That's
intro.
The generic version of the Space.
Why don't
game.
You pitch that to the person who made Mutant League Football? You've talked to him.
Alien Pro Basketball.
Alien Pro Basketball.
Well, he's in the middle of actually releasing Mutant League Football. Finally,
well, he's
so
got a next project,
the follow up, Alien Pro Basketball. Yeah, sure,
dude. In like lower gravity, that'd be dope as hell.
Alien. I just picture a bunch of xenomorphs with the ball stuck to the end of one of their tiny mouths.
NBA. Jam with different gravity and aliens with different abilities
and big heads.
He's
head
on
code.
Fire, literally. Like,
so the home planet advantage could actually be pretty
totally
strong.
Yeah, yeah.
For some species.
Oh yes,
that'd be great.
And you unlock the classic NBA stars.
Do you think it would tie in with maybe like another game, like, you know, because you basketball, especially Space Jam. I mean, you might need to turn to the Jam's Manager, the 1992 Brickstar title for the Wii.
Jams manager, like Space Jam.
I was gonna say you're just like you're
like,
you know,
you're stocking a shelf.
You're a manager. No. I was gonna say you're like a manager.
Yeah,
for like
I want to imagine the Jams and Jellies.
Jams manager.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy has had a lot of spinoffs.
Did you say Spinal Fantasy?
Sure.
Oh, shit. That's Mortal Kombat and Final Fantasy combined.
Ooh.
Spinal Fantasy.
This is Spinal Fantasy. How about Final Fantasy Driving?
Wait,
drive in or driving?
Driving.
Like
with no G.
That was Final Fantasy 15.
Oh,
Final
Fantasy. Yeah,
wasn't that 15?
Yeah,
that was
we played 15. That.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. This one came out in 92 and it's for Game Boy.
And no, it's Final Fantasy Driving. So it's like
Final
it's
Fantasy Driving.
It's the final Fantasy Driving.
The final installment of Fantasy Driving.
So it's just a driving simulator in like fantasy landscapes.
So this list is amazing. There's actually apparently going to be more to come. There's going to be like a Twitter setup for just these when they're.
Man. I hope there's
created.
A button you can click on that auto generates.
Yeah, like I wish we had made this and just start making T-shirts of all these different games, or there's like posters for these different games.
I mean, there are some companies that make shirts of random crap.
Yeah.
Like based on things.
Yeah, dude,
itself.
Dank Dragon. That's a fucking shirt. That is like. Yeah. I do. Spinal Fantasy. We got that one.
Yeah. And you could just have Scorpion ripping out a spine of any Final Fantasy character.
Well, mashup shirts are a little, you know.
Yeah. Well,
they're done.
They're a little played out.
They're done, yeah.
But just like make a cover art for
Soccer
Spinal
Dragon,
Fantasy.
The 1987 game Soccer Dragon.
Soccer Dragon.
Once again, game I would probably play at least once. Sounds great.
Would you play Jort the Storching?
Yes, because I've not
in a minute. What system is that?
Is this a Swedish made game?
NES in 1991 for NES.
Jort the Storching. Jort the Storching. What is he? What are you doing?
I would
game,
play
I
the
think?
Hell out of that. I
what?
Think.
Okay, I guess I
just based think, on the well, title.
It's a puzzle game, obviously.
How do you spell Storching?
It's S H O R C H.
Wait, that's too complicated. S H O R C H I N G. Okay. Yeah.
It's like you work in a Swedish sweatshop making jorts.
Also, there's been a lot of Tom Clancy games, but who could forget the first? God. 1983's Borrow Legend, Tom Clancy's Ghost Heaven.
Tom Clancy's Ghost Heaven. I just picture like a tactical FPS, but in heaven.
For the Commodore 64.
That would be a fun game. That would be a fun
game.
Well,
he is dead now.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, just relevant. It's relevant. It's
Tom Clancy's Ghost Heaven. That's too just real. Like, that's almost like fucking, I just picture that, I think I may have mentioned before, that Netflix movie Spectral, where like
they're
shooting
that.
Ghosts with guns and shit. Like it sounds.
But in heaven.
Yeah, but the twist is that heaven's on the earth right here, and it's actually like really awful.
Well, thanks for ruining it.
Say Tom Clancy's Ghost Heaven. You're like, ooh, what's that? And it's like, it's actually really depressing.
I'd play an FPS in heaven. Has anyone made that? There's been plenty in hell. There's been plenty of games like Doom in hell.
Just reskin Doom.
There should be a game not called Doom, but called like Hope, but it's just an FPS in heaven.
No, here's what
they're shooting angels or shooting fire
just
out of their
Mormons
hands.
Mormons are just coming at you in waves.
Yeah, it's all Mormons. They're the right ones.
This is an easy fix, folks. Here's what you do: you don't reskin any
Noah's
characters.
A, like
you
a
don't
boss.
Reskin anything. You just make all of the walls and
clouds,
background
clouds
in
and rainbows.
Clouds and rainbows. You just leave the Nazis, leave Mecha Hitler. They're all in heaven. All the German shepherds, they're in heaven.
Mein Leben.
Well, you got to clean up heaven. That's the point. You got to get them out.
You're an angel. I get it. You're an angel with a gun.
Clean up heaven.
With a shot, because only mortal bullets
time
can
to
take
kill
them
kill
out.
These Nazis.
Yeah.
This sounds
one
pretty
more
similar to 1988's Guns 2, Love and Kids.
Love and Kids? Yeah. Two Boy. Things you shouldn't
for,
hear together.
For the Apple IIe.
I had an Apple IIe, I think, back in the day. No, we had an Apple.
It was a terrible system for gaming.
We had
especially
an Apple,
in retrospect.
An Apple 2GS, where you needed it didn't have a hard drive. You loaded a black floppy disk. We had King's Quest 1. And then, man, when we got an LC2, shit, we could play Doom 1.
Give me
great.
Another one, Cap.
And then you want another one? Oh, man, okay.
Let's do this for hours.
Sorry, I almost closed
all right,
it down.
Let's do one more, so make it good.
One more, make it good, okay.
One more.
Okay. Okay.
Make it good.
Galactic Family 3, a tanky crawl.
What? I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what the fuck you said.
These all sound like legit.
This is a known Windows game from 2009. It's a sequel to Galactic Family 2.
I was going to say, if these were in the 90s, these all sound like legit PC games that came out in the 90s.
It's a spinoff of my favorite stock market simulator, Space Futures, from 1990.
That is a brilliant. Space Futures.
That is a real game.
Holy shit.
That is a... Okay, in the 90s, there is actually, and I used to own it, there is a game where you're in space and you have a shuttle and a ship and you actually have to trade stocks.
Shut up.
There is. I will never be able to tell you what the name of it is. It was
Are
on
you
a big
able to
black
short
floppy
the dilithium crystals?
Yeah, there was no dilithium crystals.
Wasn't that like Privateer or whatever?
Something, but it was like literally just a flat screen of your shuttle and like stocks ticking on the side, and there was no fun in that game. There's no other animation.
There was a website called like Video Game Name Generator or whatever, and this is like going back like a fucking year, and I remember doing it on my phone and I was generating random, it was just doing random tiles. It wasn't related to this at all.
It might have been related to that list, because that list was
maybe
publicly posted.
And you just hit the generate button and just spits out random ones, and
like
I saved
two different words.
And I saved two that made me giggle when I first got them. The first is Rockin' Beach Bandits.
Rockin' Beach
pretty
Bandits.
Good. Pretty
and I'm
good.
Like, I want to know what that is. I don't know what that is.
That's Point Break, the game.
That's there you go, Rockin' Beach Bandits. And the other was Luigi's Workout, starring Mickey Mouse.
Oh man, that's so good.
I'm a Luigi.
Wow. Oh, here's another one of my favorites. Broken Man Simulation.
Broken what?
Broken man simulator.
That's everyday life.
Isn't
though.
That Octodad?
That's just everyday life. That's,
yeah, Octodad or Quap.
Oh, broken.
Quap, yeah. This is broken. Broken man simulation.
That's an actual broken man. I thought they meant of spirit, but yeah, physically.
Broken. Well, yet again, broken man simulation. You open the box, another mirror inside.
a shattered mirror.
So yeah, to reiterate this this user disexplications, they say I'm working on a Tumblr/Twitter bot that will automatically generate and post these. So if I generate any further titles, probably fold them into that. So follow their Tumblr and see what happens. It's worth it.
Do we have time left to talk about Quake Champions? Because yeah. I was wanting to talk to Brandon about it.
Oh here. Well. Sure, we got how sure. Why
60
not?
Seconds.
60 seconds, go.
Okay,
so I got into the closed beta for Quake Champions, which is a new first person shooter, which is sort of a spiritual successor to like Quake 3
Arena.
Yeah, Quake 3 Arena, something like that, except for now it's got all of the things that you hate about modern shooters.
Like health regeneration if you hide and cover.
Well, I was talking more about like, you know how Team Fortress 2 ruined everything with their hats?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is a free-to-play, and they fund it by, in a similar situation to...
you can buy outfits and hats that don't do shit.
To Overwatch, yeah. You can buy chances at opening backpacks instead of loot boxes. Well,
Overwatch wasn't free-to-play, though. You actually had to buy the game. Do you have to actually buy this game?
No, you don't have to buy the base game. And the reason that you don't have to buy the base game is that you don't get any of the champions unless you actually spend money.
You start with a pistol. There's no other weapons.
No, there's one base champion that you get, but the rest of them are completely locked unless you either pay in-game money for them, which if you pay in-game money, you can rent them for a day. You don't actually
wait. You can't.
Unlock
the only way to own them
is that. Hold on. Shit. So the only way to own it is to get it by chance by buying a backpack.
You either have to buy a backpack. I'm not sure if they actually even come in the backpacks, but you can buy the in-game currency, the I don't know, the golden currency that's whatever, from actual money, uh-huh. and then purchase the champions to have them
for like a day.
I haven't. They haven't. Opened up where you can actually purchase the currency yet since it's still in beta.
But you rent the champion. There's no way to actually be like, I'm going to buy this character permanently.
Yeah, you can, with the amount of money that it takes to rent a champion, with the in-game currency that you can earn by playing the game, it only takes a few matches to probably rent a champion for a day. So it's not that huge.
Yeah, but what if
wall.
You want to buy them and never deal with that again?
But imagine if you really wanted to play with one of the champions and you have to go play a few matches first before you can play as that champion. I don't know. It's kind of annoying. And also another thing that I don't like about it is that the fact that there's champions in the game. I mean,
yeah, what does that even mean? They're just regular. Can I play as Phobos?
Phobos is a planet or moon.
No, there was a guy who looked like Master Chief or the guy from Doom who was called Phobos in Quake 3 Arena.
He's called Slipgate.
Now, that's
champion
not,
man. Okay. Slipgate Marine. Changed that's what that's name. What his name is. Yeah, Slipgate Marine.
Emo
and yeah, he looks like the guy from Quake 1.
He used to be called Phobos. Anyway.
Yeah, the what differentiates the different champions is they all have an active like ultimate ability, kind of like Overwatch style,
okay.
Where you know after a while it charges up, yeah, like takes like... 30 seconds or 15 seconds or something for it to charge, and then you can throw whatever different thing that your champion has. And then they also have like a passive ability, which just alters the way that they can get around. Like one of them has bunny hopping, which I don't know if you remember bunny hopping from old games. Where
I
like,
remember
if
rocket
you just kept...
jumping.
Yeah, another one has the like reduced self damage, so he's better at rocket jumping.
Is the game actually fun though?
But the thing about the different champions is they don't have like guns stapled to them like in Overwatch. So in Overwatch, you know, you don't have to worry about ammo, and you have to you've always got the guns.
That character has that gun. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. But this is more Quake style, where you go out and there's just guns laying
everywhere
around.
And you find them.
There's different loadout guns. Like you can start with different guns if you want. But they're all
but
know,
everyone's
sort of
gonna
like
find where the
gun.
BFG is or the rocket launcher and go straight for it.
I haven't seen a BFG yet, but there is quad damage that spawned in the middle of it, but it's probably quad has damage. To do with different game modes and stuff like that, so
my
I probably
favorite
just haven't found
was quad damage, and then you get the BFG and you just shoot in the middle of the map, destroy everyone.
Yo, I just want to say to any prospective nerdcore musicians, why has anybody called themselves the quad damage DJs yet?
There is quad core, isn't it, or dual core? Okay, dual core. But let me cut to the chase. Is it despite the payment bullshit? Is it actually fun to play, even with the starting base character? Is it too much like Overwatch? Is it anything like the original Quake 3?
The only problem that I had with it is that it seemed like the netcode was really crappy.
Well, it's also closed beta, so I mean...
Yeah, I was trying to forgive it for being in closed beta, but it's really hard to forgive a game when you're just constantly dying after like 2 seconds of getting hit with somebody's lightning gun, where you can follow somebody around with a lightning gun hitting them, and it's like 8, 8, 8, 8 damage, you know, just nothing coming off of them. And I'm like, this gun sucks. How is this guy like just instantly killing me?
Oh, and then someone shoots
one?
You with it and you die.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What the fuck is this?
But I'm pretty sure that it's because the netcode's screwed up and it's just like damage. You're just kind of dying.
They usually glow when they have quad damage, like blue or something.
But it seemed like there was some genuine like problems where.
Well, since you're in closed beta, I feel like it's your obligation to report that bug, isn't it?
Maybe.
You're going to make the game good when it comes out.
Maybe.
I'm still going to play when
it comes
out.
I'm always really terrible about doing stuff like that. Like,
all right. Is it fast? Like how Doom is fast again?
Yeah, it's pretty fast. But again, with the netcode not being good enough, if you can't tell where somebody is, if something's really, really fast paced, that can kind of detract from it.
Well, you fix it. You're in charge of fixing the game.
So I'm going to hold off on my final judgment for it, but so far I'm pretty irritated with it.
Is there an ETA of when the closed beta is going to end and maybe...
Closed beta ends, it already ended as of this episode's airing. It was only for the weekend.
So open beta?
And maybe? I think they're going to be releasing it soon.
All right, so On the Fence might be horrible.
Yes.
Not going to be as good as Overwatch, maybe.
Definitely. Well, it's sort of different. I mean, because it's a lot more fast-paced than Overwatch. It does actually feel more like a Quake game when you're playing it, but it has all the bad things from Overwatch.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Unlocking tiny little garbage.
What an awful sobering note to end the episode on. Yeah. Fortunately,
I got a couple more titles.
I've got a great track for us to close out on. This is from a project called Hero of Time, which was a Kickstarter that raised over $50,000. So, Eric...
Is this about Time Cop?
It's about The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Eric Buchholz wanted to arrange and record with a full 64-piece orchestra his own arrangements from that soundtrack. And so he did. He got a hold of the Slovak National Symphony, and they have made a breathtaking rendition of the score to Ocarina of Time.
Damn, we got to get them to write the theme for Dank Dragon.
Here performing the theme from Dank Dragon is the Slovak National Symphony, being followed by the theme from Macross Army Defenders Ball House 2 League Alien.
Yeah, I think we really just need to troll the fans at home and just play the full Persona 5 battle theme.
We're gonna play probably the last track you would expect me to play from the Ocarina of Time score.
Water Temple.
Castle Town Market, because it is breathtaking. Their rendition of the Castle Town Market is incredible.
I was going to whistle it, and then I was like, I shouldn't do that on radio. Sorry.
Well, I mean, you could, but...
I love that song. That song is great.
I was going to verbally roll my eyes and say, like, oh, are you going to play Song of Storms?
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, it is a good. It is one of the greatest songs ever made in the history of mankind.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's just everybody covers it.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to Nerdy Show. We'll see you next time.